Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Brian, Joe, and Evan in New York, how are you?
Joe and Evan, I'm fantastic, man. Good to be with you guys.
Thank you for coming on. Brian, of course, on NFL Network, an analyst. You can see all of his breakdowns each week on Twitter, at BaldyNFL. And the NFL Network's got the doubleheader coming up tomorrow.
Yep.
Jets,
yep.
Texans,
yep.
4:30. Browns, Broncos at 8:20. So Patrick Mahomes is pretty good. You got to have a lot of fun breaking hit down his plays.
You know, I do Big 12 games for Fox on Saturdays, and I've been out to Lubbock a bunch when Patrick was playing quarterback there for Cliff Kingsbury, and I got to know him, and I've done a couple Chiefs games this year, but I never thought he would be this good this fast. I mean, that first touchdown pass last night to DeMarcus Robinson, I thought he was throwing the ball away. It was second down at the 5, and somehow he found Robinson in the middle of the end zone. He's got just laser eyes. I mean, he can see guys, you know, from a mile away. And then he's got the arm to get it from almost every platform. We saw him bend it around an oak tree last night, like Tiger Woods out there at the Masters or something. It's just remarkable to watch.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And all right, well, while you're talking Big 12, do you see Kyler Murray playing in the NFL, or is he going to play baseball?
Well, he's going to play baseball. I mean, they put too much money in his back pocket not
right,
to play.
Right.
But he can play. I mean, he can play. I mean, he's got a great touch. He's the fastest guy on the field in any game you want to play, whether it's baseball or football, college football, pro football. He's going to be the fastest guy on the field. And I think he can play at the NFL. I know that they're going to say he's too short and too small, but they said that about Russell Wilson, too, and they said that about a bunch. Doug Flutie and
Mayfield.
He's got to find a way to be able to play.
Yeah. I just think that guaranteed bonus money from the Oakland A's will probably be too much.
Yeah. Well, they probably don't want him to play.
No.
But I can see if he can't hit that curveball that he could, you know, come on back. If I had a 6th or 7th round pick available this year's draft, I'd use it on him and just keep him.
Right. Just because you never know. You never know what happens.
Never know.
What, take me through how Mike Williams was as open as he was on that 2-point conversion.
Yeah, well, I just got done watching it. I mean, it's a classic case in this league right now, guys, where you have a stack formation and you got a banjo it. One guy goes in, one guy goes out, and you take that player. And both players went on the inside receiver, and he came outside. And that's why you run those stack formations against man coverage. If they make a mistake and the communication isn't clear right there, then one guy comes free. That's why you run the bunch formations. That's why you run the stack formations, so that if there's a mistake made, and you just need it for an instant, just an instant, and there he is all alone.
A breakdown for me, the AFC now. I mean, right now, right now the Chargers may be the best team in the conference. I mean, they may very well be, and they may have to be a wild card. They could be 13-3 and be a wild card team. Breakdown for me, Brian, how you see the AFC right now.
Well, I mean, you both those teams that we saw last night are going to be in the playoffs.
You know,
we don't know which one is going to win the division.
Right.
There's still 2 games left to play. So you got that. You have the Patriots. They'll win the East. All right. And so, you know, we got to see if the Steelers, you know, the Ravens right now, like who's going to fight it out. The Steelers can't get out of their own way. That game with the Patriots this weekend is going to determine a lot. They have had struggled against the Patriots in past years, but this looks like a completely different year. I don't know how they cover Gronk. Nobody can, and he was a factor last week against the Dolphins. So that's that. And in the AFC South, I mean, the Texans, they come to Giants Stadium this weekend. We'll see what happens, but they should win that division. And then, I mean, it just depends on home field and where you're playing. We've seen the Chiefs not be able to win at home in the playoffs in the past. The Chiefs, just struggled with the Chargers last night. I think the Chargers have gone to Pittsburgh, and they've gone to Kansas City in the last 2 weeks, and they've won. So I think when you look at that, and they're playing without their 2 running backs right now. So Melvin Gordon will be back for the playoffs, and he makes a difference. And they've got star power on defense with Bosa, Ingram, and Derwin James. Mm. They've got three players that can change the game on any play.
We're talking to Brian Baldinger, of course, of NFL Network. There is still hope in New York for the Giants. They've won 4 out of 5 out of the bye. They need a lot of miraculous – actually, it's not even miraculous things. They need a lot of things to happen. Plus, they got to win their games. They could sneak in. What have you seen differently from this offense? Because they had this incredible streak of never being able to hit 30 points. They finally broke through in the loss to Carolina. 3 of the last 4 games, they've put up 38. They put up 40 against the Redskins. What's the biggest difference you're noticing offensively with this team?
Well, it's just the evolution of the entire offensive line, including Rhett Ellison and Scott Simonson, the tight ends, and even Eli Penny, the fullback. I mean, they're blocking a lot better. I mean, they moved the line of scrimmage last week against Washington. They put puncture wounds in the middle of that defensive line, and they're all number one draft picks there in Washington. And while that's a fractured team and an injured team, they're not injured up front. They've got all their starters up there, and they won the line of scrimmage. They won the line of scrimmage the second half against the Bears. They won the line of scrimmage for three quarters against the Eagles. I mean, Yamon Brown has made a difference. Pulley in there. Will Hernandez looks like the guy right now that they thought they were drafting. It was a big jump. Him and Nate Solder are playing well together on that side. But the offensive line is protecting Eli, and you don't see the negative runs from Saquon right now. I mean, almost every single run is positive right now, and then, you know, his ability to hit home runs from anywhere on the field is, you know, unmatched by almost anybody that's ever played the game.
Talking to Brian Baldinger of football with him. All right, let's assume the Seahawks are going to be the lead wild card in the NFC. That's probably more than likely. It is such a logjam now for that second wild card spot. I mean, you know, 5-6 teams, whatever it is, even the Giants, as we talked about. How do you see that playing out, Brian?
Well, the Giants got a tough road. I mean, they've got three teams with winning records right now, and they all have played good to very good football over the last 2 months. Tennessee, we just saw what they did, you know, on Thursday night and how they can run the ball right now. Indianapolis has played really fantastic throughout the year, put a great streak together, and Dallas is as hot a team as there is right now. So they've got their hands full, but you take them one at a time. You know, I don't know, Odell's out this week. I mean, obviously he changes the game, but they won without him last week, so they've already figured that they can win another one with him. But that's what it's going to take. We'll see what the Packers and Vikings can do. Neither one of them have played well here. We'll see what happens with the change in coaching with Mike McCarthy out right now. Both those teams will be a factor if they can get hot here. You can still get hot with 3 games to go. So we'll see what happens there. And then, look, if you look at the NFC South, I mean, Carolina has lost, I don't know, 5 in a row now. They were 6-2. They're below the 500 mark. But they know how to beat the Saints, and they play them at home this week. And the Saints have struggled in the first half of games recently. So we'll see if Carolina can stop the bleeding right now and get a win. And who knows? If they win this one, maybe they can win out.
We've seen this be such an incredible offensive year for football. I'm still a sucker for a big-time defense, and we've seen 2 games that jump out at me where we saw a defense shut down a big-time offense. The Dallas game against the Saints and what the Bears did last week against the Rams. Are you a believer that even in this modern age, a good defense will still shut down the high-powered offense?
Well, I don't know if they can just shut them down, but they can certainly keep them under 20 points. I saw the Ravens do it to the Chiefs on Sunday for 58 minutes.
Yeah,
I announced that game on national radio, and for 58 minutes, the Chiefs had 17 points, got away from them at the end with a turnover, but it can be done. I mean, you watch what Dallas is doing now. They're all drafted players. They're all young, and they sprint to the football every play. I mean, the effort is supreme. Because Rob Marinelli says that, look, if you think you've played hard enough, I'll show you how you can play harder. And he keeps showing it to him. And it's pure pressure and it's effort. And so what the Chicago Bears did at Soldier Field, I think they could do it again. I think any team that goes into Soldier Field, whoever it is, in the playoffs, are going to have a hard time against that defense. They're good in the back end. They've got a pass rush. And these two inside linebackers led by Roquan Smith, they drafted him to be a sideline-to-sideline player. And that's what he looks like right now. And they've got a great architect. And Vic Fangio, who's going to get a lot of attention for head coaching jobs this year. But I think defense is still able to shut down offense. If you go back to last year, when the Falcons went to play the Rams in the playoffs, in the divisional game, the Rams were the number one offensive football, and the Falcons held them to 13 points. Mm. They manned them up on the outside. They got pressure on the quarterback. And so that formula can still work.
Mm. How about the Eagles now? They had a rough year. They're 6-7. Now Foles has taken over again. Can you see Foles leading them with a big run to get into the playoffs? I mean, wouldn't that be crazy? How about that?
Well, it would be crazy. I mean, there's just so much irony going on right now. This is they're going out to play the Rams this weekend. That's where Carson Wentz got injured last year.
Right, Foles took over. Right.
They got to take on a team that's still licking their wounds from Sunday night in Chicago. So they're going to get the very best of them. They haven't played well this year. Last year, they were the number one team in football from start to finish against the run. They're nowhere near that this year. There's back end of their defense right now. It looks like the fourth preseason game with the guys that they are playing. But Nick Foles, he has done it in a great stretch against the Falcons, Vikings, and against the Patriots. So the players believe in him. I think he believes in himself, but it's going to be a miracle to fix this team and the injuries and the mistakes that they continue to make.
This injury issue, too, with Carson Wentz just looks peculiar. And, you know, did he know about it? Did they know about it? Playing with such a back issue, why he's even still a possibility of coming back? I mean, considering how serious of a back injury this is, what do you take on what's going on with the injury status of Carson Wentz right now?
I don't really know. I live in Philly, guys. You know, and I'm around him. I'm around that team. And, you know, he's going to be active this week. So, you know, how bad is it? You know, he's not going to start, but if something happens to Nick Foles, is he going to be the next guy up, or are they going to go to Nate Sudfeld? I mean, we don't really know that yet. They haven't declared him out this week, even though he's not going to start. So there's obviously an injury there. None of us know to what severity. I mean, you know, in this day and age, the way teams are, how squirrely they are about this whole thing, it's a back injury, but nobody really knows exactly what it is, how bad it is, and how long it's been going on. But it's enough to take him off the field in a game that I think he probably thought about this game since he was injured last year. And so I know Carson, and I know he wants to play, but if he's not playing, it's got to be pretty severe.
Right. You know, we saw last week the two iconic Patriots kind of, you know, really conspire, I thought, to lose the game to Miami. You know, Brady before halftime, he didn't know there was no timeouts left. Bill, you know, thinking there's going to be a Hail Mary into the end zone. He's got Gronkowski on the field, and he wind up getting burned. You just get the feeling that, look, the Patriots are going to obviously go into the playoffs. I wouldn't bet against them. I never would bet against them getting to the Super Bowl. But it looks like something's off there this year, Brian. I mean, how about that with New England?
Well, it was odd the way that it finished, obviously, last week. But, you know, really, in that game, the Dolphins physically, they whipped the Patriots. They completely shut down Sony Michel in the run game. And that's something that the Patriots have always taken a great deal of pride in. But the Dolphins, they came and physically they beat them at the line of scrimmage. And so while there's always Belichick and always Brady, you kind of always feel like they can turn it on physically. They can turn it on. And they weren't able to do that last week. And so you wonder, you know, I mean, is there something there that they're not going to be able to switch? Getting Gronk back certainly helped last week. We'll see how he is, you know, throughout the rest of the season health-wise. But they certainly don't look like any kind of a dominant team at this point, especially defensively right now.
We're talking to Brian Baldinger. We've seen that when the Jets hire a coach, they like to have a search committee. They like to bring in Charlie Casserly. If they call you, if they say, look, we follow you on Twitter, Baldy. We love the way you break the game down. You're the search committee. Name us the head coach. Who are you naming?
By the way, before you even say that, Brian, I just want to tell you that if you get it wrong, you will be just destroyed by myself and my partner. You know, I just want to tell you that.
Yeah, we'll blame you.
We will blame you big time.
I'm going to throw a name out there, and you may scratch your head. May destroy me.
No, I'm not. Come on. I'm crying. Go ahead.
I'm telling you, the guy's going to win, though. Matt Rhule. I take Matt Rhule. Matt Rhule was with Coughlin at the Giants as assistant offensive line coach back in 2012. He turned around Temple. He turned around Baylor. He wants to be an NFL head coach. He went the college route and stayed the college route to do it. But I would say Matt Rhule would be a guy. I think he'd have an excellent staff. Starting with an offensive line coach, George DeLeon. He's coached in the NFL for a long time. But Phil Snow, his defensive coordinator, he can draw blitzes as well as anybody. I just think Matt Rhule would be a guy that you have to talk to at this point.
Right. You don't like that one? You don't like college coach?
Let's go back now, Brian, okay? All right, here we go, all right? Now, I'm a Jet fan since 1965. I'm a sick guy, okay?
Yeah.
I have seen it all, all right? I've seen all.
Yeah.
50 years of just, you know what kind of football that I've watched. They haven't been to a Super Bowl in 50 damn years, okay? They have not hired a guy who has had head coaching experience since they hired Parcells now over 20 years ago. So okay. You're going to try to sell me, okay? When I got a guy like Mike McCarthy out there, and maybe John Harbaugh is going to be out there, and who knows, probably not Mike Tomlin because the Steelers never fire anybody, even if Pittsburgh completely dies here at the end of the year, all right? You're going to try to sell me on another guy who has never coached in the NFL, all right? And this is the guy that's going to finally get me where I want to go? Really?
Well, but I mean, you just mentioned two guys that are under contract right now. So if you're going to say Harbaugh,
well, but McCarthy's out there. McCarthy's out there. Let's be real. If I was running the Jets, well, first of all, Bowles would have gone 2 years ago. But with that said, okay, no, seriously, he would have been. He's a horrific head coach. I would have Mike McCarthy be the guy now. I wouldn't be wasting any time. I've had enough of these guys.
Do you think it's peculiar though that with maybe the league's best quarterback?
Oh, come on, stop it. All right, let me ask you a question. All right, let me ask you this. All right. All right, if you're going to go with that, okay, the guy won a Super Bowl, the guy's been to the playoffs 9 times, the guy's won 6 division titles, and maybe it's just time. He's there 13 years. He's got it. Let's be honest, Rodgers is a little bit of a diva. Let's be honest about that, as great as he is, all right? So now, he's not that good a coach. I mean, we could go to Dan Marino never won Don Shula never won a Super Bowl with Dan Marino. Nobody criticized him.
Well, I'm not here to criticize Mike McCarthy.
But do you understand from a Jet fan point of view why a guy like that is a tough sell on a hardcore Jet fan, on a Jet fan base?
Yes, I do understand. I grew up in Long Island. I grew up a Jet fan. I mean, I remember Lee Bubank. I remember, you know, sneaking into practice at hockey and watching him. I mean, Parcells is the only guy that was able to turn that thing around. I understand all of that, but so you just want to go the proven?
Yeah, because I've had enough. I've had enough. Look, Al Groh, Herman Edwards, Eric Mangini, Rex Ryan, Todd Bowles. None of them had head coaching experience before. Now, some of them did a nice job. I mean, Herman did a nice job 3 times in the playoffs, Rex 2 years in a row in the AFC Championship game. All of that, okay? All of that, no doubt about it, okay? But, you know, nobody lasts more than 6 years here. I want a guy that's going to be a long time, okay? And I want a proven guy. I've had enough of these, you know, crapshoot coaches. You know what I mean? Guys who never coached.
Let me just ask you this. Did you know who Sean McVay was before Sean
McVay? I get that, but and Matt Nagy, you could give me him too. I understand. I get it. No, I totally get it. But this is a franchise. But how many misses? How many times do we have to see the guy when there's a proven guy out there? Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I do. I completely understand.
It's a tough sell to the fan base anymore, Brian.
Yeah, but the fans only want to win. So if the guy wins, it doesn't really matter.
Oh, well, look, if Rhule came here and ended up winning, he hailed as a genius.
You know what, Brian? If that happened and Rhule becomes the coach and he wins me a Super Bowl while I'm still walking the earth, you know, I'm 65 freaking years old, okay? Yes. I'll build a statue to you in my basement. Forget about the coach, Brian Baldinger. But why would I think, why as a Jet fan would I think that's the way to go?
Well, I'm just saying, like, if you're looking at the NFL right now, you look at Sean McVay, Matt Nagy, Doug Peterson, who were they before they were hired?
I get it.
Sometimes you just got to take a chance a little bit.
They've taken a lot of chances.
The problem is they've taken too many chances, and the chances haven't worked out, Brian.
Would you go Josh McDaniels if you could?
No, please, I don't want him. He crapped out on the Colts, and it turns out that's the best thing the Colts ever did because they got Frank Reich, who's probably going to be better. I don't want any part of Josh. Stay with the damn Patriots. I don't want him. No way would I want that guy. Absolutely not.
I mean, let's just go through the list of the coaches that are going to be in the playoffs. Anthony Lynn's going to be in the playoffs.
Okay, and we had him on our staff, and it's typical of the Jets that they didn't let the guy get away. But that's typical.
Yeah, but
if they
hired him, it would not have been a sexy hire.
No, but
promoting
I mean,
a guy from Rex's staff?
Of course, it wouldn't have been a sexy hire. You're right. But, I mean, it's not, if a guy like John Harbaugh is out there, I got to have John Harbaugh. Do you understand what I mean?
I don't disagree. I mean, if John Harbaugh became available, I don't know why the Ravens would let him go. But, I mean,
I don't either.
Did,
I don't either. But I'm just throwing a name out there because that name has been bandied about that it may be over for him no matter what happens.
All right. Well, I mean, we got three games to go. I think they're going to.
All right.
I saw him play last week. They look like a very good football team.
No, I don't think he's leaving. That's why to me McCarthy is sitting there now available. And that's why if I ran this team, and God knows I wish I did, I would have Mike McCarthy right now. I'm going for what I look at as the sure thing. The guy was there with Favre. He was there with Rodgers. I got a young quarterback now. I'm taking my chances.
What are you doing with the general manager? Are you staying with him?
I will say this, okay? The general manager would be gone if it meant me getting a guy like McCarthy. That's how I would look at it. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. No, I mean, you got to work together. I mean, the two guys have to work. You know, in concert together every single day.
Right.
So you can't. I mean, we see it too many times where the general manager hires the coach, and it's not the right coach because whatever. I mean, the coach is hired before the general manager, back and forth. They got to be in lockstep together in the philosophy, how they scout players, what's the importance in your salary cap. I mean, all those things. They've got to be congruent from top to bottom.
Right. Right.
Yeah, that's why I think the McCagnan situation is fluid. I hate to use that term, but that's basically what it is. It depends on where they're going. Because I agree with what you're saying, Brian. You want them to be able to work together and not just pair McCagnan up with McCarthy. They may barely know each other.
Look what happened with Izzik and Rex, and that was a disaster.
Yeah, that worked out badly. No question.
Well, I mean, by what you guys believe right now, they should be having those meetings.
Yes,
some jersey designer with Mike McCarthy right now.
Yes. You're damn right they should. They don't even have to be in a jersey diner. I'll go right to Green Bay right now. Let's go. I don't know where he's living. I don't know where he is. I'm in
Green Bay, but his dad ran a bar in downtown Pittsburgh. Maybe he's right there right now, back in Pittsburgh. I mean, you could do it pretty clandestinely in some downtown bar.
Oh, I'd be all over this. Let me tell you, Brian, I'd be all over it. But I'm going to say this again. If the Jets hire a guy like Matt Rhule, you will be the first. And he won me a Super Bowl, and I'm still walking the earth because I probably won't be when they win
another
one.
I'm holding you. If they hire Matt Rhule, he wins the Super Bowl.
You're the first guy on. I'm telling you right now, not only are you going out to dinner with me, I'm chiseling a statue to you right now in my basement.
All right. Well, don't put it in the basement. Nobody's going to see it.
Where am I going to put it?
On the top of the house.
You know, maybe I'll put it. I don't plan on doing this too much longer, so I can't even put it here. You know what I mean?
Right,
so,
Brian, we appreciate it.
Brian, we appreciate it, man. Okay. Good stuff.
All right. You bet, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.